Good morning, all, or good evening, all. Happy Wednesday. For those of you that are here and those of you online, we welcome you. Those with that are attached through Facebook and Twitter, we welcome you to our service tonight. Brother Mark Puckett has another lesson and sermon in line for us, and we're anxious to give him the opportunity to share that. Before we get going too far, though, we want to, for those of you that are on the computer coming in, or even on the phone, want to make the same kind of comment that we usually do about your offerings, your tithes and offerings. Over in the left or the right hand side of that, you can attach in and either bring things in here to the church or do it through the computer. Also, tonight's prayer list that we're going to be talking a little bit about, we'll be going over through some of the names. But if you're attached online and would like to follow along with Brother Mark tonight, he's got a couple of files that are located just under the prayer list that's on the computer. So if you can navigate yourself to the prayer list and go under, you'll see the two different files that he's got set up for us. And you can go ahead and be navigating that and getting that up to where you can follow along. Also, we're still doing Who's the One, and if you have someone you would like to attach to the cross, you tear off the little blue card and with a name, and we'll attach it up here on the cross, and then you keep and follow along and pray for that individual through the coming days and months or month. Also, the QR code. That's the thing you can attach to and follow along with our prayers, our lessons through the month. And so you can attach that and follow along with us on that through the YouVersion. Also, there's a new Facebook attachment that you can scan. And you can scan that QR code there and join our Facebook. And by doing so, you can at least highlight the office, and they will, if you're a member, they'll grant you access into that so you can follow along with our announcements. Other than that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us tonight. We thank you for the opportunities to be here, and we ask that you guide us in each step that we take, and we seek you for that guidance, and Lord, we'd be willing to listen and follow. Lord, I pray that you be with the service tonight and just touch our hearts and bless lives with the words that will be shared, and we will talk later. In Christ's name, amen. For those of you that are online, if you'll look up the prayer list and navigate to where you can pull that up and look at it. In fact, let's not even go there yet. Let's sing. Let's go to the song, and those of you that are here, Hymn 547, and if you would, just stand and let's sing. I stand amazed in the presence. Kind of hard to sit and sing that song. Miss Pat?
Sorrows, he made them his very own. He
If you'll take your prayer list now, we'll go through at least some of the new additions and share that with you, and some of the updates. And if you have anything, speak up for those you do have updates on. For HBC family, we want to continue to pray for Carolyn Stone and Art Hargrove. Miss Betsy, as she continues recovering from medical issues, continue with George Duncan. Brian Tate still has some medical issues. We need to continue remembering him. Jack Dowd is here tonight. Take you off the list. I think he's doing pretty good. So, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Continue remembering David Hess. He's still taking treatments. Okay, so he's in the second series of tests or stuff that they're working with him on, and when he finishes the third, they'll do a scan to see where he stands with that. Continue to pray for Miss Linda Jones. She was here Sunday, but continue to remember her. Continue to remember Pat Durham and her family at the loss of Miss Christine Cranford, and just pray for them. They had the funeral and the burial this week, but also remember them. Nathan Miller also has a procedure tomorrow, and please remember him. There's those in the nursing home and assisted living. It'd be Miss Mary Campbell, Peggy Eggleston, Bertie Davis, and it's the list that we've gone through several times, but Miss Janet Carter, Sue Prince, Beverly Daniel, and Susie Barton, and Hoyt Farrell. Those continue to remember those, and just watchful care for those and those administering health help for them. As far as friends and family, we want to continue to remember the people of Ukraine and also people of Israel. The Calgary Mission Partnership. Brother Jim is usually the one that gives us updates on Katie Jo Bailey, so I don't have an update on her unless y'all do. Miss Linda Ray, Pat Williams is about middle of your list there. Miss Linda Ray is back in the hospital again, Pat says. And yeah, she's not doing good. Also, Joanne Woodson, which is Pat's aunt. She has had her last treatment, and she got to ring the bell, so they're excited about that. Continue to pray for her, though. The Ray family, which is part of Matt Kohler's family. Jay Barbier is recovering from surgery. Robert Kohler, also from Matt's uncle. And also Bethany Stringfield Brooks has been put on there for medical issues. So continue to remember all of these. And let's, if y'all have any that you want to add or update us on? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, for your blessings, for your power and your glory, and for the beauty and the sunshine. And Lord, even the coolness right now in the air that seems to be passing toward the hotter for the rest of the week, but we'll look to you and for protection. Lord, I pray for each of these that have been mentioned tonight, those that are in nursing facilities, those that have undergone, from our HBC family that have undergone different procedures and looking to have more done, and even to our HBC friends and family, Lord, that there's things before them that are unknown, but it's known to you. And we look to you for protection, for healing, and for even knowledge for those that administer aid to them. And we just look to you and anxious to see how you work. Lord, we pray for the service tonight and pray that Brother Mark's words will be shared the way you would have them be shared, and we accept them with our open hearts and our receptive minds. And we love you, Lord, and ask that you continue to be with our service. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Mark is going to be back with us is here tonight, so we ask him to come and share with us what God has laid on his heart. So Brother Mark Puckett, come, please.
Okay, we're going to start with a pop quiz question tonight. Didn't you love it when teachers in school did that? So here's your pop quiz question. Sunday night, I started out by saying, we're going to do something a little different. And I just told you the answer to the question. I was going to ask you what I said when I started Sunday night. This is what happens when you get old. So what I did Sunday night was only a little bit different. Tonight is going to be very different. Tonight is not going to be a Bible study. It's going to be looking at practical ways to apply biblical principles, specifically in the area of prayer. And so each of you have received 2 sheets of handout. For those of you watching online, Mike told you where to find this online. I do hope for those of you online that you will click over there and be able to see this so that you can follow along with what I'm going to be talking about in the next few minutes. But Sunday night I did, because we were talking about Daniel's model of prayer Sunday night, and in the context of talking about Daniel and prayer Sunday night, we talked about, just in passing, the fact that for most folks, the most frequent focus of prayer tends to be needs, both our own and those of others that we care about. Now, that's fine. I do not want to be misunderstood here. We are instructed to pray for one another and one another's needs. But that is not the sum total of what prayer is supposed to be about. And if I were to give a title to what I think is the highest priority of prayer in Scripture, it would be the title of the document that you have called Kingdom Focused Prayer. And so this is what I want to talk about and just walk through some different thoughts and ideas about things that we should be praying about, and ideas about how to go about praying for these things. So when we think about kingdom-focused prayer, we're talking about things that have to do with greater concerns than just our own, but things that impact all mankind, including the kingdom of God. I had actually planned on doing this last, but as I'm saying what I'm saying, I think I'm going to actually go over to the sheet that says Praying Paul's Prayers for Me, because this is a good example of the principle that I'm talking about. On this sheet, Praying Paul's Prayers for Me, if you look at the very bottom of that sheet, you will see a number of different scripture passages listed. Those passages are prayers of Paul, in which he is praying for the people to whom he is writing in the various churches. So in Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, Thessalonica, as Paul is writing these letters to them, in the course of his letters, he transitions into an actual prayer about different things on their behalf. The interesting thing, though, is not one single prayer of Paul's in Scripture has to do with personal, physical need. It's not his need, it's not their need, it's not the need of somebody they know. All the things that Paul talks about praying about on their behalf are spiritual matters. And so what I've done on this sheet, and Sunday night when we were talking about Daniel's prayers, we talked about, actually it was last week I gave you the, it was Sunday night I gave you the Colossians document. Yeah. So in the Colossians document that I gave you Sunday night, I said that those prayers are simply meant to be example prayers. They are not the prayers to pray from Scripture. The same thing here. What I've done on this sheet, praying Paul's prayers for me, is I've taken the things that he prays about in these passages and put them into first person for ourselves, and given you examples of things that we can pray about for ourselves. I'm not gonna go through the whole sheet, you can read it for yourself, and I hope that you will, and I actually hope that you will use this as fuel for your own personal prayer life, not to necessarily go through this whole sheet all the time, but maybe over the course of a week or even a month, to work through two or three at a time, two or three here, two or three there, kind of thing. But let's choose number three, for example. Out of your glorious riches, strengthen me with power through your Spirit in my inner being. Do we not all need spiritual power? And the source of all spiritual power is the Holy Spirit. And so that's what Paul is praying for his readers about. And through the inspiration of Scripture, Paul is actually praying for you and me too. He's not just praying for them 2,000 years ago, but he's praying for you and I here tonight. So this is an example of how Scripture focuses on praying about bigger issues and spiritual issues and not only physical needs. Again, I don't want to be misunderstood. Praying for physical needs are important. It just shouldn't be the only thing we pray about. So let's go back over to the Kingdom Focus prayer sheet now, and we will work our way through that sheet. The first item that I have on here is pray for your church, its ministries, its impact on your community. Pray for your pastor, your staff, your deacons, and other church leadership. Now, this is kind of an obvious one, and it's one that I've heard you guys talk about in your services on, you know, numerous occasions as I'm here. You know, we have this going on, we need to pray for this, et cetera, in the church, and that's great. But we need to make sure that we take that to heart and be regular and faithful in praying for the church. Use your church bulletin and your monthly newsletter as prayer prompts. Keep them with your Bible, not just so you're going to know what song to sing next, but the announcements that are in those documents will remind you of things that you need to be praying for throughout the year. And I wanted to share with you an example. You see there's three little light bulbs over on the right-hand side of the page. The first one there is something that I got an idea for when I was pastoring in Nashville. and would do myself at my church when I pastored in Nashville, and that is to prayer walk the church. And so I want to describe for you what that looked like and just give you the thought of maybe this is something that you might want to think about doing as the Lord leads you. But I would just simply take time to go through our building, hallway by hallway, room by room, moving through the building. And as I would go from door to door, I would think about, okay, here's a preschooler's class. Here's the age of children that are in this class. Here's the teacher who's in this. I mean, I'm thinking this through in my mind and in my mind's eye, okay? So I'm not talking to somebody else except the Lord about this. I'm by myself when I'm doing it. But I come to this door, I think about what happens in the course of a week in this room. And it could be two very different things. The same room might have one kind of activity on Sunday and a very different activity in the same room on Wednesday or some other time of the week. And so you may be praying for more than just one thing or just one leader in that room. But to move throughout the building, thinking about the different things that go on. You come to the youth area and you're praying for those teenagers. You're praying for Matt and his wisdom and leading them, et cetera, throughout the building. You come into the sanctuary, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but I know from what I know, I think all of y'all are long timers here. So if you think about what I'm about to say, you've got to agree with me. If you think about it, if you were to walk down this middle aisle just looking right and left at the different pews, you can picture in your mind's eye who sits on that row. Because the same people sit on the same places every week, right? And so as you walk through the sanctuary, let that be an exercise for you to be reminded of the different people in the congregation and different concerns and different needs and different ways that you might feel prompted. You know, you're not going to pray for all 300 people, okay? But you're reminded of this person, and you know that they're dealing with a certain issue. You're reminded of this other person that sits over here, and you know that they're struggling with something, well, et cetera, et cetera. And so you just spend however long as the Spirit leads you going through the sanctuary. As you pass by the church offices, you're reminded to pray for your staff, et cetera, all around the building. That can take a little while, just depending on how you feel led in that. But let me encourage you to not rush through it if you have the time. But if you only have a little time, give it what little time you can. And come back another time and pick up another part of the building another time. But there are few things more important for you to be praying about than for your church and the ministries of your church. So let me encourage you in that. Secondly, to pray for revival and spiritual awakening. Now, these are two different things, and they're two phrases that we often use to talk about the same thing, but they're actually two different things. And we use one of these words that if we want to be technical, we use it incorrectly. Do you know where I'm going? When we say our church is having a revival, what do we often mean by that? Well, it's a week of services, yes, But we often use the term revival as a word to describe reaching the lost. And that is not how the word revival gets applied. The old saying among evangelists is, you have to be vived before you can be revived. So the technical proper term for reaching the lost is spiritual awakening. They are spiritually dead. Read Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. It says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which we used to walk when we followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. So the lost people are spiritually dead. They need spiritual awakening. They need to be brought to life. That's what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. Nicodemus had physical life, but he did not have spiritual life. So we need to be praying for two things. We need to be praying for our churches to be revived and Christians to be revived, but we also need to pray for spiritual awakening in our communities, in our state, in our nation. You know, Christians talk about, well, if we could just pass this legislation, we'd have such a better country. And if we could just do this, you know, our country would be, you know, where it needs to be. No. The only thing that's going to turn this country around is a spiritual awakening. It's not legislation. I mean, legislation is good, and we need some good legislation, but that's not the bottom line secret. The bottom line is a movement of God's Holy Spirit in hearts and lives to draw people to himself. That's what will set us back on the right course. So let's pray for revival and spiritual awakening. So that leads us then, closely related, to praying for the lost. Now, I feel like I'm a little bit of preaching to the choir here, but I'm just going to jump on the bandwagon because I know that y'all are doing this Hoosier One, and this is great. And I want to encourage you to take seriously the idea of thinking about who do you know who needs to know Jesus, and committing yourself to praying regularly and specifically for those people. And so Hoosier One is a great way to get started. Unless we live under a rock, we probably know more than one person who needs to know Jesus. But it's a great place to start to pray for that one. And then we move from there to pray for others as well. But let me challenge you to not just say, Lord, save the lost, but Lord, would you do a work in the heart of this person? To reveal yourself to them, to convict them of their sin, to draw them to yourself, to bring them to faith in Jesus, et cetera, et cetera. I was thinking there was something else I was going to say about that, but if it was, I went blank. So let me go to the next one. Pray for missions and missionaries. Now, we have a champion in this church for missions. Go, Rima, go. And I'm not trying to flatter her or anyone else when I say I hear missions talked about more in this church than any other church on a 52-week schedule. All of our churches have Lottie Moon emphasis, Annie Armstrong emphasis. We're taking a mission trip to this place or that. But for 52 weeks out of the year, this church is putting missions out there, and that is awesome. But again, here's where I'd like to challenge you on an individual level to take it up a notch, and that is to move beyond praying, God bless the missionaries, to being like you do on Sunday morning, be specific. Here's a name, here's a place, here's a ministry, here's a need. Let's pray specifically for these people and these things. You see there listed the websites for our International Mission Board and North American Mission Board, where you can get specific prayer requests, and that is really important, that we lift up God's labors for the harvest through prayer. So that then segues to our next topic, which is praying for the nations and praying for people groups of the world. Now, the term people groups may be new to you. I do not know what has been talked about here. Do y'all talk about people groups here, Rima? Not to put you on the spot. Okay. A people group is a group of people. But it's a group of people that has their own unique identifying characteristics, their own unique kind of culture, maybe a certain dialect of a particular language. In other words, if you were to take people group A and people group B and put them in the same room together, people group A would stay on this side of the room and people group B would stay on that side of the room because they think each other is weird, even though they've never met each other before, because this group's not used to doing things the way this group does it. This group's not used to talking with words like they're hearing come from these people. Would you believe there are over 12,000 identified distinct people groups in the world? Now, why does that matter? The reason that it matters is if I'm going to communicate the gospel to someone, I need to be able to do it in a way that they can relate to and understand. Not just understand audibly in the language I use, although that's really important, but also to understand culturally, to be able to relate to them in the way that they live and the things that are important to them and their culture, their habits, their lifestyles, so that they understand. Because we can talk about Jesus in terms of Western first world culture, but you take that to a third world country and talk about some of the things that we relate to, and they have no clue, no understanding, no appreciation. I'm not saying that makes us better than them. I'm just saying it makes us all different. It makes us all distinct. So our missionaries need to learn about what identifies each different people group and how to relate to them. Out of those 12,000 plus people groups, more than 7,000 of them do not have the gospel. And that's what our mission agencies are trying to focus on more than anything else, is reaching into the darkest darkness of the world where people have never even heard the gospel before. And this is, I'm not talking about just, you know, primitive tribes in the rainforest. When we go to Taiwan and present the gospel in public school classrooms, in a culture that economically is very much like ours, very prosperous, very modern, and schools that look very much like our schools and classrooms look very much like our classrooms, but we can go in there and we're given permission to share the gospel with them. And we ask them, how many of you have ever heard this story before? Rarely do any of them say that they've heard this story before. And so we need to pray for the people groups of the world. Now, here's where I want to make a concrete recommendation to you. And I'll be up front. This is not going to be everybody's thing. So if this isn't your thing, I don't throw stones at you, okay? But this book is called Operation World. And in this book, it's like a spiritual encyclopedia of all the peoples of the world. It goes country by country from A to Z and talks about the nature, the culture, the background of that country, and then it goes into the spiritual environment of that country and of the spiritual needs and how missionaries have identified that we can best reach that. Now, this is not something that you just sit down and read like a novel, okay? But a good way to use this is to go one country at a time, just focused on that country and reading about and learning about and then praying about that country. Now, there's a website that I don't have written on your sheet, but it's called joshuaproject.net. joshuaproject.net. And it is tied to this book. And on that website, not only can you get information about all these different countries similar to the book, but they also have a place where you can sign up to get an email every day. And the email comes during the wee hours of the night so that when you wake up, it's in your inbox whenever you check your email. But every day, there's an email about a different people group in a different country. And so it'll say, this people group who are in this country have this background, this spiritual interest or lack of interest, and here's how we can best pray for them. And so it's a reminder to pray for the peoples of the world. And if you're not interested in sitting down with this big book, maybe you would feel like you could tackle reading a brief email each day and praying in response to that email. But a couple of ideas about how to pray for the nations of the world. So, something that we don't think about a whole lot here in the States, because we don't really experience it in a significant way, and that is persecuted Christians. Around the world, there are, I think the last number I saw was over 400 million Christians whose lives are on the line because of their faith. And we need to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ and pray for them. And this Open Doors USA website that's on your sheet will give you information about how to pray for persecuted peoples. The second light bulb that you see there says, pray the news. That can look like a number of different things. And I don't do this systematically. I do it as I feel prompted. Sometimes it can be something that I'm reading about sometimes I can be sitting watching the news on TV and I feel led to pray for someone or some situation that I'm seeing on the news. I have been driving down North Jackson and had an ambulance come screaming past me, and I just start praying for whoever's in that ambulance. I have no clue, but I just pray that God would have his hand on them, and that most of all, regardless of who they are and whatever their spiritual need is, that God would be glorified through what they're going through in their life. And something that's probably the weirdest of all for me is I live within earshot of the helipad at the hospital, and I can hear when there's a helicopter at the hospital. I know that if I'm hearing a helicopter from the direction of the hospital, I know that somebody has a serious problem. That's the only reason they've got that helicopter there. And so I just lift them up and pray for them, even though I don't know what's going on with them or who that person is. But that these are ways that we can be praying for the world around us. We also need to be praying for our leaders and the things that are going on in our nation. And that leads us into the next section. First of all, pray for your city. Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:7 says to pray for the welfare of your city, because as your city prospers, you will prosper. That sounds unusual, doesn't it? I don't know that I ever had a Bible teacher or a preacher draw that to my attention my whole life until just a few years ago, because that's not the kind of thing that we think about. We want ourselves to prosper, but we feel guilty if we pray for our own prosperity, maybe, much less our city. But if, as our city prospers, we will prosper. And so we need to pray for our city leaders, for our schools, for the other churches in our city, and for unity among our churches, that we would have an effective witness. I won't name names, but just Monday it came out that another huge name leader in Christianity in our country has stepped out of his ministry because of failure. And you know, anytime this kind of thing happens, it gives Christ a black eye and it gives his church a black eye. And so we need to lift up our the churches in our city as well as the other institutions in our city. This is also an area where prayer walking is a good thing to do. And I don't know what exposure this church has had to prayer walking, but just to walk down the street, letting the Spirit draw to your attention things that you see and observe, and to respond to those things in prayer. So, you know, to go over to the school just a few blocks away from here. When I pastored in Nashville, we had an elementary, a middle school, and a high school within a mile of our church. And we would take a Wednesday night at the start of school every year. And instead of having regular activities at church, we would all load up in our vehicles and make the circuit around to those schools. And as they're starting school for the year, to pray for the students, pray for the teachers, pray for the administration. and the things that happen in the coming year in that school. Our next item on the list is pray for our government, national, state, county, and local. Heaven knows that our government needs a lot of prayer. And that's not a political statement when I say that, because that's on both sides of the aisle. But we need to pray for our government. Pray for wisdom for our leaders, and pray that God would speak to them and through them in their leading. Then pray about social issues. This is something that gets brought to our attention as Christians and as churches a lot, but we need to be more diligent about it and more specific about it. I know right now you've got a baby bottle drive going on, don't you? And that's awesome. That's the kind of thing that we need to keep in front of ourselves to remind us to pray for that. You see a list of a number of different issues that we need to be praying about there, and that only scratches the surface of many issues that we need to be praying about. I don't know how aware you are of some of these issues in other countries, but some other countries on some of these issues are completely gone. And when we lived in Canada, and I was in a position in Canada where I was asked to come speak in the States on numerous occasions for different events and functions, different groups and stuff, large groups. And I would tell them, this is from 04 to 2010, and I would tell them at that time, I would say, if you want to know what ministry here in the South is going to look like in 20 years, come to Canada today. I was wrong. It wasn't 20 years. It was 10 years exactly between the date that Canada legalized gay marriage and the United States legalized gay marriage. And we're seeing that gap continue to shrink between the radical liberal agenda in numerous other countries around the world and when those things start to take hold here in the United States. So we need to be praying about these things. And then finally, at the bottom of the sheet, pray that God's kingdom would be realized in your own life. And I've given you a number of passages here. And again, these are things that perhaps you just take one at a time, not trying to do them all at one time. Because the important thing here is not to be able to check something off a to-do list, but to let God do a work in your heart and for you to seek to be conformed to His will and His image. And so, you know, to take one of these at a time when you have a little time to think about it, to ponder it, to pray over it, and ask God to reveal His will for you through that particular passage. So that brings us back to what we were talking about with the Colossians booklet that I gave you Sunday night, with the third light bulb idea here at the bottom of your sheet, praying scripture. And as we talked about Sunday night, we know that when we pray scripture, we are praying God's will. And so these are some ways that I just wanted to give you some fodder to ponder and try to let's all broaden our practice of how we go about prayer and the things that we pray about. There are so many things that need prayer, and so many places in Scripture where we are told to pray. So we need to take more seriously God's call on us to prayer. So I have rambled for about our whole time here tonight. But in the few minutes that we have left, I want us, what? To pray. So, let's start with a personal time, individually and quietly. We mentioned Sunday night Scripture. We read several passages of Scripture that talk about the importance of repentance for prayer, to be in right accounts with God before we come to Him for the things that we want to talk to Him about. So let's start there first, and let's just take a few moments to come before the Lord individually and privately and set our hearts before Him, confess anything in our lives that we know is not right with Him, and ask Him to reveal Himself to us. Okay, let's do that. Father, forgive us. We are weak. We are feeble. We are frail. We are fallen. Father, forgive us, because we fail You each and every day in the things that we think, in the things that we say, in the things that we do, and the things that we should do that we don't do. Father, forgive us. Lord, we thank You, Jesus, that You came and made forgiveness possible. We thank You and we worship You and we praise You for what You have done for us. And through Your forgiveness, through Your blood, we ask that we would be cleansed, that we would be purified, that we would be made worthy, not because of anything we've done, but we would be made worthy because of what You have done, that we would be worthy to come into Your presence, to to seek you, to seek to know you, to seek to understand you, to seek to grow in closer relationship with you, little by little, step by step, day by day. Lord, we thank you that through your mercy and your grace and your love and your forgiveness, that these things are possible. Lord, I thank you for this church and for the witness of this church in this community. And I pray that there will be both revival within this church and spiritual awakening in this community because of this church. That Jesus would be exalted here, that he would be lifted high, and that many would be drawn to you through the witness and the ministry and the declaration of your word that goes forth from this place. Lord, I pray that you will take the things that we've discussed in the last hour, set them upon our hearts, convict us where we fail you, and lead us to be people of prayer. Reveal yourself to us through a relationship of prayer. Grow us, strengthen us, encourage us. May we be mighty men and women of prayer. Not that anyone will brag on us, not that anyone will brag on this church, but so that people far and wide will brag on you. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that you desire to be in relationship with us through prayer. May we be faithful to pray. And it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.